a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an
emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Tax Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello and welcome to Stronghold Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I am Dutch Jones. Hopefully I didn't overdrive the mic there. I get my headphones completely on. Moments before we went on, the dog decided to puke in the audio studio here. And now my headphones are cutting in and out. It's going to be one of those good days. Who did this? What happened here? It didn't happen. This weren't doing it the other day. Anyway, this is Stronghold Radio coming to you from Central California. We're in Kaweah. That's K-A-W-E-A-H, outside the southern entrance, which is the only entrance, the main entrance, as far as I'm concerned, to Sequoia National Park. We're a small little burg, a little village, a commonwealth in the county of Tulare. And for those of you that are listening, you need to remember that Tulare was a Confederate county. I get a lot of people go, you're in California, you can't be talking about stuff like, you ain't no rebel. Well, one, I'm not a rebel. Rebellion is of witchcraft. The rebel is the one that doesn't understand what he's doing. The resistor, the revolutionary, the person who stands up for liberty is not a rebel. The tyrants are the rebels. The tyrants are rebelling against God and righteous government and righteous liberty. So I'm not a rebel either. Just like I said the other day, I'm not an American. People go, oh, can you say you're not an American? Well, because America is pretty much dead. America's been dying slowly on the vine since the war of federal aggression. Stop that. Let's see if that's doing it. Something you do. It's this. That's weird. Huh. Something's making my headphones cut in and out, and it's really hard to talk when that's happening. I apologize to you guys. Something in... Let me see if it goes away when I do this. Wait, that's... Okay, now let's see if it does it. We'll talk for a little bit. You just hang on there without your headphones plugged in, you'll be okay. I'm just talking. Lou's sitting next to me here. Let's see, what's here? Looking in the chat room. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and sorry for the weird, jumpy start, but we're just having some weirdness go on here in the studio. Yeah, it was your headphones. Once I disconnected your headphones, everything's good, Lou. Those headphones are now probably busted. They have a short in them or something. What are you doing? And so don't plug them in again. Just you'll have to figure out how to do it without listening. You can hear me. I'm right here. Lots of stuff going on in the news today. I just before we do that, Twinkle Toes is saying, today's a big birthday. My 20s are just now a memory, says Twinkle Toes. Mourn for you. Well, congratulations on your 20s exiting birthday, Twinkle Toes. And so thanks for tuning in on your birthday and not going around and tagging all over Exeter or something in celebration. The news that I've been getting today is on one thing and one thing only. People keep asking me about this deal up in Montana and what I think in Lolo, Montana. And if you don't haven't heard about it, a really weird guy, what's his name? David Burgert, B-U-R-G-E-R-T, who they're claiming to be, depending on the article that you watch or read, the news story, you're going to see that he's either a survivalist, a militia guy, a maniac, a mental patient, or whatever. And the spin's already beginning on this thing. And I've done some research on it. but I'm going to read probably the best article I found that talks about what happened, and then we're going to discuss it, and we're going to talk about how they do these things. Okay, the ground hunt for hunt for former Montana militia leader scaled back. The ground hunt for a former Montana militia leader accused of firing a gun at sheriff's deputies was scaled back. Now, this happened on Sunday, but the story is for today. Now, they did this on Tuesday after authorities said the suspect disappeared into the woods near the Idaho border. Now, Missoula County, Missoula, M-I-S-S-O-U-L-A County, Under Sheriff Mike Dominick said law enforcement agents would continue to search a 50-square-mile area centered on the Lolo National Forest in the search for ex-convict David Burgert. But Dominick said Burgert, a practiced survivalist, could have escaped the area where the search initially focused, possibly in a 1987 Jeep Wrangler that Burgert owns, but authorities have been unable to locate. The area is so large, we've expanded it out from a ground search to more of a road search, Dominick said. We don't know if he's still there. We're speaking to as many people that know him as we can, trying to develop investigative leads. Well, if he's really a militia guy, what would be the point in talking to people he knows? You should be talking to his enemies. They're not going to tell you anything. Now, Burgert, 47, is 6 foot, 2 inches tall, weighs 230 pounds, and has brown eyes and brown hair. He was last seen wearing a bluish shirt and a fanny pack, so he had no pants, no boots, no socks, and is believed to be armed with a handgun and possibly a rifle. It's probably because the cops had their heads down. They don't know what he was getting shot at with. Authorities believe he had been living out of a vehicle in the area, and searchers have discovered several caches of food, weapons, and gear in the search area, Dominick said. What's funny, though, it's Montana. They're probably other people's caches. It was just random that, you know, he bailed out there and other, you know, anyway, when you see this guy's recently out of prison, I don't know how much stash he has up there. The shift in the manhunt came as federal authorities said they had obtained arrest warrants over Burgert's alleged probation violations. Burgert is the former leader of a Flathead County militia group known as Project 7 that was accused of plotting to assassinate local officials and overthrow the federal government. It is named for the number 7 on the Flathead County license plates in Montana. For those of you that don't know, Flathead County, I think, is also where Chuck Baldwin is. He's in the Flathead Valley, so I think it's the same county. It sounds like it if he's right next to the border there with Idaho. But read that again. They're saying that he was the head of Project 7 that was accused of plotting to assassinate local officials and overthrow the federal government. It was named for the number 7. I mean, it sounds like another bit of Hutari, although they're not a Christian militia and it was much smaller. I don't even consider them really a militia. It sounded like a bunch of guys that got together that were just angry. Burgert, who was diagnosed with paranoia, isn't it everybody who's against the government diagnosed with paranoia, was never charged in an assassination plot. See, they bring it up, but he was never actually charged for it. He reached a plea agreement in 2003, pleading guilty to federal weapons charges, including possession of a machine gun. Four other members of Project 7 pleaded guilty in the case and received lesser sentences. Burgert was released from prison in March of 2010 after serving 8 years. He was barred from possessing firearms as a condition of his release, Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal Rod Ostermiller said. I'm going to scroll up here. I could best describe him as a bully, Flathead County Sheriff Chuck Curry said. He's one of those people you're constantly dealing with, confrontations with law enforcement, confrontations with his neighbors. Authorities have been contacting Burgert's former associates in case he attempts to return to Collie Spell, there you go, his former home, Curry said Tuesday. Curry was in charge of the Flathead SWAT team when Burgert was subject to a similar manhunt in February of 2002. He's always causing trouble, isn't he? In January of that year, Burgert attempted to stage his death along the Kalispell River to escape pending warrants for his arrest, Curry said. When officers later pulled over a vehicle Burgert was driving with his girlfriend as a passenger, Burgert bailed out and ran into the woods. Curry said that sparked an all-night chase that ended the next morning with Burgert cornered and holding a gun to his head. After a standoff of several hours, Burgert surrendered. Certainly based on what happened, Burgert is a very dangerous individual. So that's one of the stories there, and it's just been pouring out. It's even been on Fox News, even though I haven't watched it on there. Oh, I just closed the article. But I do find it really strange. They've got this built case for him, and what he was doing when he was caught, he was sleeping in a vehicle at a rest area or a campground, depending on which article you read. Now, I've contacted the authors of all these local news articles. I'd rather get local newspaper people on here. And I've asked them to call me, and they're not calling because I said, we'd like to get some clarification what's going on with this dude on the air, and I'd be more than happy to put you on. But he was in this car. They approached him, and obviously he later turned out he had firearms, and he doesn't want to get caught. He's a parolee with firearms. So he went on a low-speed chase. And one of the weird things about this low-speed chase is that while he was doing it, I don't think he really understood the gravity of the situation. He was waving at people. He was smiling. He was doing, just things that didn't really seem to make him that dangerous, appear to be that dangerous. But I don't know. When he was originally caught, he had explosives on his person. But we have to believe what the warrants say, what the indictments say. I think I just read that one. I don't know why it reopened. Let me open all these comments. But the thing of it is we can't trust this, but I do trust the local newspapers in Montana to a point. I don't think that they're so jaded they're just going to make stuff up. The local sheriff there is saying that the guy is a pain. What had happened was he was in Colorado. He had a burglary charge there, a conviction for a felony burglary charge. He ends up in Montana. He approaches the search and rescue sheriff's posse kind of thing, says, hey, I want to be a volunteer. They go through the process, and what most people, logical people, know is that you can't volunteer for sheriff's department agencies if you have a felony because they do background checks. There's a reason I don't go to the sheriff's department and do a background check because I'm on the no-fly list. I don't want to volunteer for something through the sheriff's department that they're going to go, hey, we noticed you're a seditionist and you're on the no-fly list. I just don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to be part of, throwing myself into the jaws of the beast. Well, they told him, thank you, you can't do it. And he raised a stink, made threats against the sheriff. So then he went on to try and get his EMT license. Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can't be an emergency services worker without a background check anymore. So he went and tried to become an EMT. They found out and they kicked him out again. So he said that the sheriff's department in that county had pretty much destroyed him. So he got angry. He put together his little group, and whether or not they actually made threats, I don't know. But let me I found some stuff here. This is from the Idaho Observer from 2002. So this will kind of give you an idea of what the other side of the story is, because we like to be fair here. And this relates to his first run-ins with the law back then. Kalispell area resident Mike Height knows Dave Burgert very well. He watched as his friend was pepper sprayed and arrested by Flathead County Sheriff's deputies while legally serving process. It says legally serving process. He watched as Flathead County tortured his friend by putting a hood on him while the pepper spray burned into him for almost an hour. He watched as the international news picked up the local story that Burgert was part of Project 7, a group of militant anti-government extremists that had a lot of guns and bombs and had a list of public officials targeted for execution. The international news media dropped the story because it wasn't true. The FBI didn't even conduct more than a cursory investigation because there was no evidence. That didn't matter since the intended impression had been inevitably etched into the minds of the Daily Interlakes readers. He's talking about the local newspaper. It all started with an angry email last Thanksgiving weekend. Burgert, a seasoned search and rescue volunteer, circulated a rather profane and ill-advised email after a 14-year-old boy needlessly died of exposure, probably an effort to boost his chances for re-election in 2002. Sheriff Jim DuPont, isn't that funny, DuPont's a New World Order family, just saying, decided not to call search and rescue when it was learned the boy was missing. It reportedly took the sheriff and his deputy 6 hours just to find where the trail began. The boy had died of exposure by the time the inept sheriff found him. Burgert blamed the death on the sheriff because he and his crew, who know every rock and tree in the area who should have been called, would have found all of them still alive. So Burgert's saying that if you'd have called us, called Project 7, us search and rescue militia guys, we could have found the boy and he wouldn't be dead. There's more to it. Burgert had also taken the city of Kalispell and the county of Flathead to task on several occasions. He'd also been serving civil process and corrupt on corrupt local authorities. That's where the legal process comes to. He's trying to arrest judges and things. We know folks that try to do that. Not my bag of things, but that's what happens. One might say the local corruption had enough of Burgert and decided that he had to go. The local media participated in the conviction of Burgert. Their crimes in this matter were eloquently stated by Height, who has just notified that he is now being charged with using profanity on the phone with a Flathead County jailer. You can't swear at a jailer in Montana. That's a little weird. Who was allegedly tampering with Burgert's mail. Let's see. I've got just tons of stuff on this guy. It's kind of weird. It's like... and these deal with his first arrest. No legitimate probable cause has been established in the traffic stops. The Montana Highway Patrol officer involved in this case testified to the fact that he did not attempt to verify the probable cause for stopping Mr. Sesnick, who's one of his guys. Now, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Dave Burgert, it's so hard to say his name, was stopped by a Montana Highway Patrolman for some traffic violation, and I guess that went well. But then his comment was to the highway patrolman, he goes, next time you're not going to take me. It's going to take a whole lot of SWAT teams or something along those lines. So to say that they were just doing a health and hygiene inspection on his vehicle, I think that the statement that he is reported to have made, whether he did or not, may be the instigation for this latest thing. And what's weird about it is, like, I was on Facebook, of course, all day, posting stuff, asking people from Montana to give me comments. And there really isn't any way of knowing, period. The pastor called me and says, I want to make sure this isn't something we need to get involved in, maybe praying for him or, you know, find out who his family is, helping him out, send the family some funds, to get out of there so they don't get harassed, that kind of, junk. But we don't know anymore. And that's what I don't understand. How can we judge anything that we're seeing in the media anymore? We just have to assume that it's all diluted at the very least. Even coming from the great state of Montana, we're not going to know the truth. Now, if this guy is nuts and he's a bad seed or something, then we would be able to judge and say, well, this guy's not militia. They're just painting him with that. He's just a maniac who's mad about his lot in life. But then you find out that he's angry that they weren't called out to help look for a 15-year-old kid who froze to death when the sheriff's department didn't want to go looking at him. And it doesn't make sense to me how the media can continue to do this and still be legitimate. We don't know. But let's look at the other side of it. What are they going to say about you and me? What kind of things are they going to dig up? I guarantee you that when they come after me, they're going to say I'm a convicted felon that is not to be possessing a firearm, and I've never been convicted of anything. They're going to say things like, well, he had warrants for this, this, and this. You know, he ate babies, crimes against humanity, he's a known Nazi. There's going to be all kinds of junk that they pile on whoever it is they target. Remember all the stuff they did to Randy Weaver? Oh, he was associating with white supremacists. No, in fact, that's what got him in trouble. He didn't want to associate with white supremacists, and the FBI was trying to make him do it. They're going to come after whoever they want full on. So I don't know what this guy had, what he was involved in. If he had machine guns and explosives, that's just plain stupid. It's really, really funny that... that they would even let us know what's going on. What is it that they want us to get from this? I was surprised it was on Fox, because I have never heard of this guy, but this stuff happened in 2002, and I don't know about you guys. I'm going to check the chat room here, but I don't know of this even being in the news before. I don't know if anyone else has ever... I've never heard of this guy. I've never heard of Project 7. It sounds like Sector 7 from Transformers or something. Wasn't it Sector 7? Lou doesn't know. But it just... I don't know. There's a weirdness to this story that I can't understand. And it's like everything else that we get on this radio show. And because I was talking about that, we got a person from Oklahoma that contacted me that's being persecuted by the local county government and the FBI, and he's been set up, and, you know, and I'm hearing these stories because ever since we did the Shauna Ford story, a lot of people want to contact me. I've turned down a lot of stories, obviously, because you don't hear about them on the air because there's no way of me verifying them. This Oklahoma story that we're going to bring up probably next week after I get some bona fides on this thing is going to be very interesting. All around the country, there's going to be more and more violent police overreaching. And it's funny, I spent the whole day yesterday talking about how great Montana is, and then this thing pops up. And I don't know if he was really tortured. I don't know if this guy's a nut. But if you guys are seeing anything else on there, give us a call. Do I have the phone hooked up? Yeah, I do. I don't know if I tested it or not. Hang on a second, guys. Yeep. Let's test this phone. Let's, oh, that's the other one. Phone's over here. Oh, yeah, it works. Phone works. I'll call it, Stace. No, you don't have to answer it. Don't answer it, Stace. Okay. We'll get horrible, terrible, violent feedback if you answer it because they're sitting right there. I don't know. Am I the only one that's confused by this? Are we going to see more of this? Are we going to see...
I see we probably will.
I think we will. I think they're going to start making examples of people. I found a really good site today. It's not like I found it, but somebody told me about it. Let's see if I can find it again here. Of course, our site's awesome. Here we go. I got some... This is copblock.org. 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 Somebody put that in the chat room. And I found some really cool stuff in there. Things on police corruption and what these guys are doing. You know, God bless them. It's risky, but... In an era when, you know, people are being arrested for videotaping cops, people are being beaten and killed by cops, the cop who shot that dude in San Francisco, that black guy right in the middle of the back in front of everybody, he just got out early. He got 2 years for murdering a guy in plain sight of everyone, and he just got out of jail yesterday. Oh, there were videos of it, Stace. There were videos. There were, you know, and his excuse was, I thought I was tasering him. And so now this cop got off and stuff. So this week's corrupt cop stories, and I'm going to read these to you, and this is from copblock.org. I encourage you to link to it. Oh, I just hit the microphone. Let me take a drink of water. It's not, what is it, about 95 here today?
Something like that, 99.
And we're not ready for it. It just overcame us. We finally got the swamp cooler working. I plugged it in, and it started shooting hornets out at us. Which made for fun with the kids. Hornets were flying into the room. I had to run around and smash them.
I missed all the fun. I'm yes. Sure.
Lou doesn't realize that we put all the wounded hornets in his room. We didn't kill them. We wounded them, so they're angry. But Lou and I took apart the swamp cooler, sprayed it with wasp spray, aired it out, flooded it with water, and got it going. And it's a little bit cooler in the house than it is everywhere else. Excuse me while I take a drink here.
I'm not sweating yet.
I'm dying here. I'm a big fat guy, and I'm not used to the heat. Okay, this week's corrupt cop stories from copblock.org. I got 4 minutes. I can get this out. If not, we'll finish it after the break. They just keep coming in. Oh, and prison guards, too, and customs agents. This is the collection. In Huntsville, Texas, a state prison guard was arrested on June 2nd on suspicion he planned to distribute heroin in the prison. Alejandro Smith, those two names don't go together, 21, went down in a sting operation after authorities received information that he was smuggling drugs into the East Ham Unit State Prison. Smith agreed to pick up a duffel bag of heroin in Huntsville and was busted when he did it. He is charged with conspiracy to possess heroin with the intent to distribute. He's looking at between 5 and 40 years in prison. Now, in Miami... just a stalwart of police honesty. A Miami police narcotics officer was arrested June 2nd on charges he took cocaine from a drug bust and used it to pay off informants. Officer Roberto Anzanza, 31, is charged with possession with the intent to distribute cocaine after FBI agents found 10 bags of cocaine, heroin, and 2 bags of weed in his patrol car. You know, Asanza worked in a unit that targeted street dealers. One of his snitches snitched him out. Ooh, snitches, can never trust them. He's looking at up to 20 years in prison if convicted, unless he agrees to share with the FBI. In Atlanta, a former U.S. Customs and Border Protection agent was sentenced June 3rd to 13 years in federal prison in a case involving the largest ecstasy seizure of 2010. Devon Samuels, 45, and his wife, Keisha Jones, no relation, 30, were among 14 people arrested in December after authorities seized 700,000 tabs of the stimulant drug. Boy, that's a lot of ecstasy. 700,000 tabs. Samuels used his security clearance to avoid screening at Hartsfield's Jackson Airport. He went down in a sting after carrying $22,000 he believed to be drug proceeds to Jamaica. His ring supplied much of the ecstasy and marijuana coming into the Atlanta area, according to prosecutors. He got 8 years for conspiring to launder drug money and attempting to smuggle guns into onto an airplane, and another 5 years for marriage fraud. I don't know, maybe she was a dude. His wife got 6 months home confinement. Now, in New York City, a former NYPD officer was sentenced Tuesday. So that was a week ago, I think. Or is that today? No, today's Tuesday. To 20 years in prison for his role in a sting of more than 100 violent robberies of drug dealers that netted more than $400 million in drug proceeds. So a New York City police officer robbing drug dealers. Jorge Arbaje-Diaz, age 31, was part of a 15-person gang that posed as police officers and robbed dealers up and down the East Coast. Only one other member was actually a police officer. Arbaje-Diaz would use his status as a police officer to gain access to homes. Then crew members would bind and torture their victims to find out where the drugs and money were kept. Arbaje-Diaz was arrested in 2008 and pleaded guilty to one count each of robbery, conspiracy, and drug trafficking. So he got 20 years. I don't know. What happens to cops in prison? I know we have some prison guards that listen to this. So that's good. Bad cop, no donut. So I encourage you guys to go to coplock.org. I think we're going to be getting a lot of input from them. I really like having that kind of stuff because I cannot stand the cops anymore. I'm so sick of it. Just the stories of police abuse, and then all the good cops just going, well, they're just bad apples. It's not us. Well, you good apples, you 10% that are good, need to do something about it. We'll be back after the break. And don't forget, we're going to have Steve Klein at the top of the hour. Again, yes, God willing, pray for us that we can go on the air. Keep listening. We'll be right back on Stronghold Radio.
Well, it's Friday night, and he's pulling them over left and right. He sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Thank you.
it seemed like he was part of the dream when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, and agents become Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate light. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news and the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Okay, we're back. This is Stronghold Radio. I'm Dutch Jones. I'm doing what I can to keep us on the air here. We're here Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, coming to you from Central California, behind enemy lines. We like to bring you all kinds of stuff. We have a Christian militant separatist worldview. Whether it's news articles that I'm reading to you or out of the Bible or whatever it is, we're trying to bring you a militant Christian worldview. That's why at 6 o'clock, God willing, we'll have Steve Klein on from Code 20, and he's got a report. He went to Missouri for an anti-Muslim protest there, and he's got some information about that, what the folks are doing there, how the protest went, and it'll be interesting. So he'll be calling in around 6 Pacific time, whatever time that is where you're at. Right now it's currently 5:34 p.m. You do the math. And, of course, these shows do repeat. Thanks to Olima, there are archives, and on Ustream, they repeat, and they're picked up by all kinds of folks. I understand that we're on Indiana Freedom Talk Radio right now, and we appreciate that. We appreciate you listening. We're not really a call-in talk show. I do give out the phone, but so few people call in. But you can reach us on Facebook. Just put in Stacy's Redneck Husband or Stronghold Radio, you'll find us, and we're there. I changed it from Dutch Jones because I had too many weird stalkers. We've got these pathetic pukes that are trying to sow seeds of discontent in what we're doing here, and they cause trouble, so I just made it a little harder for them to find us. I got one more article here, and this is kind of a bad cop, but this has bad Blackwater guard. I know Blackwater's not around anymore, but the mess they left behind is still being litigated. This is from Washington. A former Blackwater security guard was sentenced to 3 years and 1 month in prison Tuesday for involuntary manslaughter in a Kabul shooting in 2009, the U.S. Justice Department announced. Christopher Drotliff, 31, and Justin Cannon, 29, another former Blackwater employee, were convicted in March of involuntary manslaughter of Ramal Mohammed Naheem, an unarmed Afghan civilian. Cannon will be sentenced on June 27. Both men fired several multiple shots at a passing car after the lead vehicle and their convoy crashed in the middle of the night and overturned on its side. I don't like the way that's written. Does that mean that the Blackwater people crashed and so they just started shooting at cars? Or was this guy, that this car that they killed, part of a convoy and the lead vehicle crashed? Naeem, the passenger in the car, was fatally shot and his driver injured. Another Afghan man walking his dog in the area was also fatally shot. These guys are real good marksmen. Although both men were acquitted of charges of his death and the shooting of the driver. Both Drotliff and Cannon said they had legitimate concern for their safety and had pleaded not guilty. Yeah, if our vehicle breaks down and we crash, we have the right to shoot anybody standing around us. Now, Christopher Drotliff recklessly fired his 9mm pistol at unarmed Afghan civilians, killing two people and shattering the lives of many more, said U.S. Attorney Neil McBride in a statement. Now, why is the federal government going after State Department employees? That's really what XE is. They're State Department. They're Hillary's henchmen. And Hillary's henchmen usually get away with whatever they do. And maybe two years is really getting away with killing a few people. Now, according to the statement, both Drotliff and Cannon left their military base on May 5th, 2009 to transport local translators when the accident took place. Blackwater was renamed XE after it was caught up in several scandals in Iraq, in particular the deaths of between 14 and 17 civilians in Baghdad. Well, they're not telling you those 14 to 17 civilians were schoolgirls that were grenaded and shot up by Blackwater folks, and now they're saying that they weren't Blackwater folks. And remember, Blackwater was also caught up in a weapons scandal where weapons were falling into the hands of the enemy. They would confiscate weapons, and boom, there it would go. That would end up in the Al-Qaeda and those resisting armed forces over there. You know, continued corruption. In the line of continued corruption, they're saying that 70% of arms in Mexico are coming from the U.S. But what they're not telling you is that they're coming from ATF agents allowing them to go in and being seized. Remember I told you last week about the Tijuana former mayor who got caught with a cache of arms? They just dropped all the charges on him. The corruption is huge down there. So here we go. About 70% of the guns seized in Mexico and submitted to a U.S. gun tracing program came from the United States, according to a report released by three U.S. senators Monday. Of the 29,284 firearms recovered by authorities in Mexico in 2009 and 2010, 20,000 of them, 20,504, came from the United States, according to figures provided by senators by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Remember, they're letting them go through. Most of those weapons, 15,131, were U.S.-made, while another 5,373 were foreign manufacture, but had moved through the United States into Mexico. The ATF said the remainder of the weapons, a total of 8,700 arms, were of undetermined origin due to insufficient information. Yeah, right. Those are the ones they let walk out of the gun shops. Remember that story? The figure of the number of guns arriving in Mexico from north of the border has been polemic ever since a June 2009 report covering earlier years said that 87% of the guns seized in Mexico came from the United States. While the report did not specifically specify why the percentage had changed, the most recent figures appear to include most gun trace reports as a reporting figure in Mexico became easier to use. Evidence that U.S. weapon trafficking has been fueling a bloody drug war that has cost more than 35,000 lives in Mexico since late 2006 has angered many Mexicans. Really? The weapons are fueling the drug war. What about the drug war fueling the drug war? The drugs, the corrupt city-states in Mexico. On Saturday, in a speech to the Mexican-American community in San Jose, there should be no such thing as a Mexican-American community, President Felipe Calderon lashed out at the U.S. weapons industry. I accuse the U.S. weapon industry of responsibility for the deaths of thousands of people that are occurring in Mexico, Calderon said. It is for the profit that it makes for the weapons. I can't keep a straight face. A Mexican person, a president, wagging its finger at the U.S. about violence in Mexico. The report issued by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California and two other senators recommended background checks for sales at gun shows. Yeah, that's going to help. A ban on the import of non-sporting weapons and the reinstatement of the assault weapons ban enforced in the United States until 2004. Calderon endorsed calls for reinstating the ban on domestic sales of assault rifles, saying its expiration in 2004 may have played a role in the increase of drug violence in Mexico. You can clearly see how the violence began to grow in 2005, and of course, it has gone on an upward spiral in the last 6 years, Calderon said. Now, Calderon, I wish I knew you heard my voice. I desire that you had somebody listening to this. Because I'm going to tell you something. Go pound sand, you tin horn, Hitler impersonating, third world dictator that wouldn't even be in office if it weren't for the CIA. Nothing going on in Mexico is triggered or as bad as it is because of guns coming from America. It is bad because the people of Mexico are savages. They have been savages since first contact. They can't run their own governments. And I'm sorry, this isn't a racial thing. This is a political thing. That's the way they've been since first contact. Savages. They butcher each other. They're more racist than any group of people I've ever met. I've worked in factories and businesses where there are Mexicans, Indians, different tribes, and they all hate each other. Those that that their parents were raped by Spaniards hate everybody else, and vice versa. They all hate them. Mexico is a cesspool. It has nothing. If they didn't have guns, they would be using machetes like they were doing before this gun issue came into view. What it is, you've got communists like Frankenstein from California, Diane Frankenstein, who wants to use this as the subject du jour to ban guns. They want to take away, I mean, California, we're already in big trouble. We don't have the rights to guns, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the open carry law and where that's at. But the rest of you folks better wake up. These handful of senators that made this presentation, they're coming after your guns. They're using Mexico's violence, which we're creating, because if you don't think for a minute that the drug war has nothing to do with Central Intelligence Agency, black bag operations, secret slush fund, shadow government budgeting, then you haven't been paying attention. Going back to the turn of the century, it's always been about our control of third world countries without them having to become states, so we get all the benefits with none of the requirements of statehood. We harvest their resources, which is drugs right now. We allow them to be savages. We allow the little dictators to do whatever they want until they make us mad, and then we send in U.S. troops and slaughter them, or take them prisoner and then send them back to France. Noriega. There's nothing new to this. Our streets, if anything, Mexico is responsible for the violence in our nation. The gang violence is directly drug-related. The export of narcotics north is the key. The export of human slaves, sex slaves, human workers, illegal workers, invaders. It's not about guns going south. In fact, I say send them more guns. If I had the money, I would go out every month and buy 5 firearms and send one to Mexico to somebody. Send it to some poor little village peon so they can defend themselves. Or even better yet, send them to drug cartels. Let's just get it over with. Let's let them slaughter each other. Decrease the excess population in Mexico so they don't come north. Violent, isn't it? Sounds terrible. Not very loving. Not very Christian. Well, there's a reason we have a nation, a God-ordained nation. Their nation is corrupt. They're the Philistines. They're every bad tribe in the Bible that always preyed on Israel. They're right there. No yawning. Listen to the story. Am I wrong? Am I being a big bad man? Is this bad? Weirdness to me that I can't comprehend. I can't get over it. How this stuff even gets into the media without being challenged. More buffoonery in the media. It's like every time I see, we have this newspaper reporter that lives here locally, and every time I see him, I just want to slap him. It literally takes all of my energy to not slap the man. I don't want to kill him. I just want to slap him and go, you stinking communist. The stuff you write is garbage. I've tried to tell him that, but it takes all my effort. I've gotten to that point. Or I just want to slap newspaper reporters. Even the ones that you see on video. Those folks, I mean, it's just so much lies. From Fox down to Communist News Network, all that stuff. PBS, all of it. They're all just spinning it to do one thing, to take your rights. And the majority of Americans are going, yee-hee, yeah. Mexico's so terrible, I heard a 14-year-old got shot in the face. Let's take away everybody's guns in Ohio. That'll protect people in Mexico. If we take away the guns of people in Ohio, people in Mexico will be safer. Really? The stupidity of Americans... That's why I don't say I'm an American anymore, because I don't want to be in that. Americans are stupid. Overall, they're completely, totally stupid. Let me take off my headphones. This felt like something was crawling on my head. I don't know what that was. Probably one of the wasps that flew into the building. Guess I'm alone on this. I don't see. Maybe I'm not in there anymore. Let's see if I'm in there. Let me type something. Hello. And I'm not getting any comments on that. I thought that would be people going, oh, you can't say that. That's just mean. That's just so mean. I didn't watch the debate last night. I've gotten a few emails what I thought about the debate. I heard, what's her name from Minnesota was on there. What's her name? Huh? I can't remember her name. The lady running, the one that, it's like Palin on steroids or whatever. They said she did really good, but the big thing is I didn't want to see a big Mitt Romney cheer fest. They're just going to set up these debates, make Mitt Romney, just like they did McCain, another puppet, another loser, in fact, he's weird. I don't want a Mormon in there. But then again, I wouldn't want a Catholic either. So I didn't watch the debate. So people sent me letters, and I have no opinion. It's all a set thing. They're deciding who's going to be the next president. But what I do find funny is that Obongo and his family are already, I said a little bit of this yesterday, but now even the family saying, you know, we're okay with one term in office. He works too hard. This is what Mrs. Obongo said, Michelle. She said, yeah, he works too hard. He never gets a day off, which he's always going somewhere and playing golf. He's always sneaking away to get a hamburger because, you know, the whole vegetarian thing going on there. Wacky, weird stuff, you know, so they're already setting it up. And like I said yesterday, nobody has ever been reelected with unemployment over 7%, 7.5%, something like that. So, you know, that's it. So that's my opinion on the presidential election. I think it's a done deal. Bush made it. He set the ball up. It was like a volleyball serve. He set it up so that Obongo could spike it and destroy the economy and get it to the point where it is now where we'll never go back from it. So I'm not going to get excited. You know, did you hear what Ron Paul said? No. They're never going to let him be president. I'm sorry. And if he keeps running as a Republican, I would never vote for him. If he goes as a constitutionalist, independent, even a libertarian, I would vote for him. But right now, I'm not into the whole presidential election thing. Maybe I'll get excited as it gets closer to the wire. But you're going to have like 12 people running against Obongo. So, you know, that's what it's going to be. I want to see the Republicans tearing at each other's throats because of the differences in ideology between the neocons, the phony cons, and just the cons. I want to see that. Hey, Scotty, thank you for carrying our signal. I see you're in there. I appreciate it. I'm always happy to see you in there. Hey, we got five. This is weird. We got like five people registered for chat. I don't know how many people are actually listening. It says we got 44 people viewing. But when I've written them, they don't tell us what that really means. So I see Freedom, Scotty38. And Twinkle Toes, and of course, those of us that are operating the show are here. Anthea's behind me. Lou's here. Lou's feet are... You don't have any shoes on. What are you do if there's a fire? What are you do if there's a fire? And you're yawning. You are not ready. You're not prepared. Guy wears flip-flops to the office. I'm wearing river shoes. At least these are like what the Viet Cong wore. I can get around in them. Lou, I mean, Anthea, will you get me some more water? Try and see if it'll get cold. Here, come get my cup. Oh, the heat is just unbearable. I got my Father's Day present early. Where'd I put it? Where is it? Somebody stole it. Somebody's already stolen my Father's Day present. Which one of you kids stole my Father's Day present?
I didn't. Tell them where it is.
Get up and look around for it, Lou. Where did it end up?
It was.
Oh, that's really weird. We're in one room.
Here it is.
Okay, bring it over here. Well, we walked in. The transmitter was overheating, and I had to go that way. Yes, I got for Father's Day from the brood a machete, but not just any machete. That was the Velcro coming off. Could you hear that? Did you hear that? A Gerber Gator. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about the importance of having a machete over a hatchet, And, well, the Gerber, we got this one. This is like the, what is it, the 32-inch blade? I don't know. It's probably not that long.
It's 18-inch.
No, 18 was would be like that. 24? I thought you said 44. 24-inch blade with a sawback. Really good sawback. You know, some of these things you get, just got little bumps. You know, you could do your nails with it. This thing, I could do Civil War surgery with this. It's a nice saw on the back. It's got a good blade. For some reason, at the very tip, it's got about a quarter-inch hole drilled in it. I don't know if that's to hang it on a nail in my butchering shed or what, but the handle is nice and good, nice and grippy. It's not a hard plastic. It's got a rubbery handle, a little lanyard that goes around your hand, and very good for dispatching zombies. I highly recommend it. They're less than $20, you know, less shipping and handling. Gerber Gator. I like the longer one. They have a shorter one, but I thought I want to be able to reach out and poke those zombies if they're coming at me. And it's not like most machetes where it's got this rounded, blunt tip that wouldn't work as a stabbing weapon. This one has an angled tip. In fact, from the side, maybe the hole's there to make it look like a shark. See how it looks like the eye of the shark? So that you could actually use it as a stabbing weapon.
I think it looks like a slaughter blade.
A slaughter blade? Yeah, I guess you could cut heads off chickens with this. That's what I just said, zombies. It's a good zombie dispatcher. Or you could practice on zombie chickens. But I really like the saw blade. I want to get out and saw some stuff up. I think I'm going to go into Lou's room and start sawing stuff. I think my family wants to slowly kill me. They probably bought the machete hoping I'd use it on myself, knowing them.
No.
That I'd fall on it. they're all, no. Lou's going, uh-huh. Yeah, it's part of the plan. Those of you still got a couple days for Father's Day, guys out there. A machete's a good tool to add to somebody's survival kit. I've been getting some calls from people that are going to be coming in from long distances for the training this weekend. People are bringing RVs. And remember, the RVs are first come, first served for the water hookups. We only really have two or three potable water hookups. The rest are, excuse me while I put my machete over here. The rest are not drinkable water. You'll have to treat it. So make sure if you're bringing an RV that you will be self-sustaining. And make sure you get here by 10 a.m. So that's great. We've already got...
Come Thursday.
Most people have lives, Stacey. They can't
Same,
come...
I don't have one.
What was that?
Hirsch?
What was that noise? Oh, that scared me. In my headphones, it sounded like somebody screamed off in the distance. I don't know if you guys heard that. Anthea just won like a Minesweeper game. So she's yelling and she's told not to. These kids would never survive the Apache Wars. You know, you stick them down in the corn crib and tell them to be quiet.
They wouldn't. They would go.
No. Lou doesn't say much, but he fidgets. You can't tell right now. He's shaking like a leaf. And he's uncontrollably flatulent, too. But so he'd be giving away our location. Let me drink. Get your foot away from me. I got a machete. Give me that machete. You think you can hold my machete?
Mommy's going to take that away from
me. Let go of it.
I got you.
No, you didn't get me. I'd have thrown acid in your face. That cup is acid. I converted it.
And you're drinking it.
I drink acid. So, but that was a good thing I wanted to share with you on that. As far as the training coming up, we do have people did respond. Not a whole lot of people responded. Twinkle Toes responded. She wanted to know if there's anything she could do, and I have yet to come up with anything because basically the way we're doing the scenario is it's all tabletop stuff. It's all going to be basically, okay, I'm telling the truth here. We're going to play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm going to be the dungeon master, but it's going to be disasters and what would be the other D? D&D. Disasters and...
Death.
No, not death. Anyway, it's going to be like playing Dungeons and Dragons, and I'm going to be in charge, and I'll be telling people what to do. Well, you're just going to go around, and it's going to be real life. You're going to read what the scenarios are. You're going to come up with plans. Can you hack it?
Yeah.
You can't hack reality. Okay. It's not a video game, Lou.
You said it's going to be like Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons is not a video game. It was a series of books when I was a kid that you had to go through. It was a tabletop scenario I can't speak.
Can I use the magic spells and like reverse?
You can't use magic in what we're doing this weekend. There will be no magic, you weirdo. We're going to be doing disaster-based stuff and scenario-oriented problems that you're going to have to solve, and you're going to have to come up. Get the dog out of here. You're going to have to solve it, work it out together. And what this is going to do is I'm going to see who the leaders are. problem is we have a lot of people that think they're leaders and they're not. We've got people that we got people that are just loud and obnoxious and think they know everything. I'm gonna be honest. I'm very coarse when it comes to this stuff because when reality hits, I don't want to have to shoot you. So I'm gonna have to tell you up front. Look, you're not a leader. You know, you may think in your own mind that you're a leader, but you don't have the right experience. You don't have the skills. So there's only a few people in this group that can be leaders. I'm not one of them because I'm too harsh. I'm a trainer. I understand. Twinkle Toes is telling me, don't tell anybody else it's like D&D. They'll think it's evil. No, I'm just saying I'm using the same concept. I won't actually be using the books or the dice. I won't actually put you in a dungeon. But these scenarios are the only way to shake these people loose. And if you're lucky, you can break their will and their ego, and they'll realize, hey, maybe I just need to be an Indian and not a chief. You know, all my life I wanted to be in charge. I've had people do that. I've always been a leader. No, you've always been a bully, and people just shut up and let you lead. And I'm not going to do that with this group. It's too important to me. It could be Lou. Somebody who never talks could be a good leader. You know, somebody who just knows how to think through stuff and analyze stuff. That's what we need to be a leader. Someone who can look at the situation, look at the list of tools and assets that you have, and come up with a plan without debating it. It's not a democracy. Search and rescue is not a democracy. Militias are not democracies. I mean, you can leave if you want to. I understand that. You're not held there. But if you're going to be part of the team, you've got to say, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'm the guy who works the lever. That's all I do. You tell me when to lift, and I'll lift. I don't decide. Because somebody's eyes have to be watching everything to make sure that it's being done safely. Being able to bark out orders does not a leader make. That just means that you like to bark out orders. That's why I'm not a leader. I like to bark out orders. But see, I understand that. It's come to me through some very hard lessons and being in charge of things that didn't go too well. I like to be compartmentalized. I like to find the things that other people need to do and help them achieve those things by being an outside analyzer. I'm the analyzer. I'm not the decider. Don't leave that to George Bush. Was that George Bush? I'm the decider. I can't remember what it was. Well, it was on Little Bush. I keep saying, I'm the decider. That's what we're going to be doing. Okay, so I filled that last half hour. It's a miracle. Stick around because nobody call me on the break because I'm not going to answer it unless you're Steve Klein. Because Steve Klein's getting ready to call in for the next half hour, next hour with Code 20, and he's going to report in. So just stand by, everybody. We'll be back after the break. Thank you for listening to Stronghold Radio. And we'll be back after this little bit.
Listen, all that forward from Union with Southern Confederate Soul. And I'll tell you some men for the Union who in northern ranks were enrolled. They came to Missouri in their glory and thought at their might we'd be displayed. But they soon had a different story when they met Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? They have called us rebels and traitors, but themselves have thrown up that name of late. They were called it by the English invaders at home in the year of 98. The name to us is not a new one, though 'tis one that shall never degrade. Any true-hearted Irishman in the ranks of Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? They're not. not call us invaders, tease, but states' rights and liberty we ask. And Missouri will ever defend her, no matter how hard may be the task. Then let it through Irishman assembly, let the voice of Missouri be obeyed. And the northern fanatics will tremble when again they meet Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade, didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade?
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
Attention!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, people of all persuasions. This is Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Cahuilla, California, Camp Cahuilla, here in the Commonwealth of Cahuilla. And it is Thursday. Excuse me, it's Tuesday. It's going to be that kind of week. It's Tuesday, the 14th of June, 2011, and our long-lost friend Steve Klein is on the line. Are you there?
I'm back. I guess the lines are working there in Cahuilla. Last week I was taking on the Muslims and having too much fun in Missouri, and glad to be back with my good friends Dutch and Stacy Loon. All the rest of you are listening. Hey, let's make it real simple. Let's long live Jesus and death to Islam. How's that?
There you go. We picked up a new affiliate. Indiana Freedom Talk Radio has been carrying us for a few days, and we've got listeners texting us on Facebook that they're listening, so you have an enlarged audience today, Steve.
Cool.
You always wanted an enlarged audience, didn't you?
Well, Dutch Jones, you've been doing a fabulous job, and as the saying goes, nothing is more powerful than an idea that has come of time, and Dutch, your ideas have come of time, thank God. I can see all kinds of great things going on. We were back in Missouri, and it was just awesome. The Muslims didn't know what hit them. It was so funny. But I'm going to let you go ahead and pick up where you want to start, and then you are the leader, the commander-in-chief of intergalactic operations, and I'll jump in.
Well, I guess we've missed you for several weeks. We've had scheduling conflicts. We've had power outages. So there's a lot to be caught up on, I think. But why don't we start with this Missouri thing? Who had you out there? Who was hosting you?
The Missouri Minutemen had me out. That's under Pastor Mark Kaiser, and he found a really good church there under a gentleman by the name of Pastor Russell Fair. Went really good. In fact, what was really interesting is this gentleman, Pastor Thayer, he's the actual pastor of Grace Nazarene Church out there. Of all churches, a Nazarene church. When I was, I went online and I checked it out before I got there, and I told my compadres, I said, I don't know, but when I got out there, my friend, this pastor was in the trenches. He was fixed bayonets. He was going all the way. He did the abortion clinic with us in the morning, and then we went over and did the mosque. He didn't flinch. He didn't blanch. He didn't blink. He did an awesome job. The guy is a real warrior. They allowed me to speak for 6 hours on the virtue of Joshua and the tribe of Judah, the civil magistrate, and the sword, and that we are to use the sword properly under the law written on the heart, the law of nations, and that our job is to work in conjunction with the pastors. They preach, and we hold the sword. They go, and they talk, and we defend and protect. And I said to him several times when I was speaking to an audience of about 50 to 70 people, and I said, you know, we come back from our wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever, but we walk into the church and you guys want to castrate us. You want to take away our manliness. You don't want us to do what we're supposed to do. Ruger, one more bark out of you, dude, and you're going to be filling a hot dog.
He's barking at the UPS man.
That's funny. Hey, he's a good guardian.
Yeah.
So it went really good, and as it turned out, the pastor's son was having a heck of a time. He just got back from Afghanistan several months ago. Really struggling with the PTSD, and he got to listen, and the kid was, I could see, it would make a gigantic difference, and he invited one of his other buddies just back from Iraq, and we ended up with four guys, brand new guys, including the pastor's son, back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and listening to, you know, the stuff that Dutch Jones and Pastor Warren Campbell talk about, and Steve Klein, these people had never heard it before. We did it all biblical. They are on fire. I have a hunch, with the help of this pastor, Russell Thayer, that they're going to bring in between 50 and 150 young warriors back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they want to take the Muslims on properly, the abortionists on properly, the New Worlders properly. I mean, Dutch, it was like you and me had set this whole thing up. It was awesome.
Well, it's good to see that people are having the same urge and desire to face up to the real problems that are out there, not, you know, that there are others. You know, Missouri's a good place, though. I mean, Missouri's, you know, known for its, what should we say, militant worldview, you know, going back to the Civil War and things like that. So it's always good to see that they're out there. And but so what did you do? Did you guys just do one of your typical interventions at a school or a mosque or what?
We didn't do a school. Now, the high school outreach here is going absolutely fabulous. In fact, we picked up two more counties today, Sacramento and San Bernardino. What we did was we went to an abortion clinic, and we stood for about 2 hours or so. And like I say, the pastor was there. We had two pastors there. A guy by the name of Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer. He's pretty big back in Ohio, Missouri. He's pretty big. And another gentleman by the name of Pastor Gregory Thompson, good guys, all real good guys. And then we went, that was in the morning, then we went back, had lunch, and then we went to the mosque. Mm. And that was interesting because I wasn't in control, so I didn't have my attorney. They had modified my letter, and they didn't send it out to the city attorney, so the police never showed up. So actually, for me, it was more fun because this punk was pushing me around and stuff. It was pretty funny, a punk.
Yeah.
It's probably about 62, 63 years old, yelling, and it was funny, yelling and screaming, and I did a little intervention between him and another guy, stood in between him, and the guy started pushing me, and I just said to myself, look, this isn't going to happen. We are Christians, we do not back down for Muslims, we don't back down for abortionists, we don't back down for queers, we don't back down for New World Order. So I just said to the guy, look, that's battery. Stop it. He goes, it's not battery. And he shoved me again. I said, okay, you're done. He shoved me one more time. I'm calling 911. I'm getting the cops out of here, and I'm going to arrest you. So he shoved me one more time. I pulled my phone out real dramatic, like, put it in front of his face. And as I touched 911, I said, 911. And the operator came on immediately. And I said, ma'am, we are here peacefully in accordance with the First Amendment, legally and lawfully, peaceably assembling to petition the government for redress of grievances on a public sidewalk, not blocking anyone, passing out gospel tracts. we're being battered by Muslims, and we want the police to come out here and protect us. So I've got it on the speakerphone so old moron Joe can listen. All of a sudden, he goes from being the Tasmanian devil to a weak little sheep.
Typical
back
bully.
Down. But it was, yeah, it was a concept of a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemaker. I didn't have my 1873 with me. My model 1873-44, which I carry in my car all over California. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have that with me, so I had to rely on the police. Plus, I was a new guy on the block. I was not in charge. But everything worked out real good. And what was really good was the pastor and the other guys got to see how a mosque works and how we were able to work with the Muslims. And it was really positive. Then that night, now remember, Missouri's 2 hours ahead of us. So the guys, they get me up at 6:30 in the morning, Missouri time, which is 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, guys, you know, I'm 60 years old. This is kind of hard on me. I'm on California time. Well, that night, before I went to bed, they said, we're going to get up at 5:30 if you can. That's 3:30 California a.m. California time. And we're going to do a men's breakfast. I said, well, how many guys? About 20 or so, and the guy, Gregory Thompson, he can always get a recruit. The guy's amazing. We need to get him out there at the church in Columbia.
This dude can
get recruits. He's amazing. So to make a long story short, I showed up, and then the president of the group, about 30 men, we were just talking normal, and he asked me a few questions, and his big as saucers. And it was just the stuff that you and I talk about all the time. It was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, he's talking to us, and then he goes, do you want to be the speaker today? And I said, sure, of course. So I got up there, and they gave me an hour, and they were just wowed because I told them about the mosque and everything. There was a real nice man there. He came up to me later, and he said, you know what? About 10 years ago, the Muslims came to me and offered to pay me $5,000 cash, 2 weeks, all expenses paid, to go over to some Middle East country, marry this woman, bring her back, they would pay for a divorce, give me the $5,000, and I'd walk away. And he says, I just didn't do it. I said, well, it's good you didn't do it. Because it was probably a terrorist. Well, then I said, can you come and speak? I'm speaking today in about 2 hours. I'm speaking for 6 hours. When you show up, I will let you tell your story. So he showed up, and six or seven guys from the prayer breakfast, they showed up. Well, then break time comes, and this lady walks up to me, and she says, you know what? 10 or 15 years ago, I was working for this chain of restaurants called Ziggy's out here in Missouri, and they offered me $25,000 to go over to the Middle East, marry a guy, come back, and divorce, and they do the same thing. She says, yeah. But I didn't do it. So that was just great confirmation. And those guys, they stood their ground in front of the abortion clinic. They stood the ground in front of the mosque, and then they stood the ground when I was hitting with both fists metaphorically when I was delivering. I said, you know that passage in the book of Joshua where he's standing in front of Jericho, and then a theophany, and Jesus shows up as this mighty warrior. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but I think it's Joshua 6.
Yes.
And there's a mighty warrior. It turns out it's Jesus because Joshua walks up, and he says to Jesus, this theophany, he says, are you for us or against us? And Jesus says, neither. And as the commander of the Lord's army, I am here. Bow down, grovel in front of me, take your sandals off, or you're at holy ground. So it was definitely Jesus. So then I just kind of bellowed at the audience, and I said, pastors, why do we have to act like women? Why do we have to be castrated? We men who are trained to be like Joshua, these young men back from Iraq and Afghanistan, why don't you cater to us? Why don't you bring us bold warriors in and allow us to protect you so that when you go to the gates of hell, you have bodyguards in accordance with the Holy Bible to take care of, to protect you, and then that's how the church is designed. You have the jurisdiction to preach, but the civil magistrate, the sword, the military, us guys who've been in the military, we have the authority from God on high to protect you, Pastor. Why won't you let us do our job?
Right,
and I just shut up, and the audience was like, yeah!
There you go. Yeah.
It was great, and pastor was in. He said, you're in, you're in. Bring them all, bring them all.
Yeah. Well, it'd be great if we can get even more places like that spread out around the country, because it's not just going to be – California's not the only battle zone. You know, Michigan's not the only battle zone. It's going to be everywhere when the population
everywhere.
Of these Muslim invaders reaches a certain percentage and they start doing
everywhere.
Their Sharia law garbage, we're going to need them. We're going to need people everywhere. And just a handful
everywhere.
Of people, a handful of people that can that
That's
can
awesome.
Lead and organize. That's all it's got to be.
Just two or three, four or five. And, you know, I was shocked that night when I came back. There was, like I say, these fellows who'd been to Iraq and Afghanistan. They were not small guys. They looked like cage wrestlers. They were big guys, and they were like, we're in. What can we do? We're in. We're in. We want to get involved. So, hey, not for girls. Not
no.
for sissies.
Well, hopefully,
ladies support us. The men go out.
Yep. Hopefully you can get them to tune into the show every Tuesday night, and maybe it'll grow from there. Yeah.
Didn't you say you had a Missouri group out there, of
yes,
militia?
Missouri Watchmen has been contacting me, and we've been talking with them, and a few of their people listen, and they've sent me some good comments on, you know, they like the show, they like what we're doing, they love the fact that we're militant Christians, that we're not trying to hide behind our pastor's black robes, you know, like most Christians in America do. Oh, we're Baptists, we can't fight, you know, that kind of garbage. We're not
This group works out of Springfield, Missouri. We actually have a college professor in our group, and the guy's got them all pegged. The Muslim Student Association there at Missouri State University is dangerous as can be. So, yeah, Missouri Watchmen, we are very interested in you. I'm going to try to go back out in 45 days, and I'll be teaching biblical battle planning, and we'll be going right back to the mosque again. Hey, contact us, and we'd love to work with you.
Yeah, we need to do some more networking, some more cross-pollination between the different groups. Now, let's shift gears a little bit here. we've got all this stuff going on over there in North Africa and the Mideast. Syria sending in aircraft and tanks, and now we have American senators saying we need to put troops on the ground in Syria to defend these Muslim Brotherhood types. What's burning in your heart on this one? What do you have to say about that?
I wonder if maybe God couldn't call a an earthquake on Washington, D.C. or something.
Yeah.
That's what you can imagine what my mind is thinking.
Yeah.
This is insane, absolutely insane. And you know what? That's that much more reason for all you militia guys, get your buddies on board, start getting organized and getting ready. It's time for the U.S. troops to say enough is enough, no more, no mas. Get the hell out of there. Stop.
Yeah.
They're just killing us. The Muslim Brotherhood, it's insane. So that's my take. We need to be out of Iraq, out of Afghanistan.
Out of Libya.
I had lunch. Yeah, out of Libya, absolutely. And it's, right now they are traitors. They're absolute traitors. They're taking money from the Muslim Brotherhood, these political officials. We need to get the heck out of there. I heard Admiral Mullen, my old buddy that doesn't know what to do with sailors, he said, yeah, we're going to help the democratic movement in Libya. And I felt like jumping through the TV and choking that guy to death. What a maggot. What a maggot.
Yeah.
Puke.
And it's very rare that I agree with the Pope on anything, but last week he came out and said, well, if the navies of the world aren't going to stop these Muslim pirates, I think it's time that these merchant ships be allowed to arm themselves. And
really?
Yeah, I was sorry, because he really, I don't know what he has to gain from it or why he said it, but it came out, and I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah, he knows history.
Yeah, he probably does, yeah. But, you know, have a classical education. But it's strange to me that the Pope would be smarter than our own Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mullins and those guys. Well, didn't Mullins get replaced, or is he still...
I went online to check it out. He's still active duty. I don't see anything about him being relieved of duty. There's talk about the other sissy Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense,
That's
Robert
it.
Gates.
Robert Gates has been
What
rude.
A sissy. My goodness, where does he buy his underwear?
Rotated around.
Yeah,
they're just gonna, they're going to, well, there's your tie-in.
You're killing me. Where are you from? California? You're killing me.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in Central California.
I know.
Yeah, people are still surprised by it. Earlier today, people were like, you're in California? Because I showed our video, our Christian militia video. I put it out on the internet again for people to look at, and they're like, man, sign me up. Where are you? California. And they're like, never mind. I don't want to go to California. Neither do I. Like Jonah, this is where I'm at, you know.
The Missouri Minutemen under Pastor Mark Kaiser and Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer and Gregory Thompson want to come out to California ASAP. They're trying to work on funding and whatnot. And of course, I know that now they can draw 200-400 people real easy, especially with the background work that you and Pastor Warren have done. So they want to come out in the worst way. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Well, we just got to work on the money angle, boys. We just got to keep working on the money.
Yeah, try and facilitate some you know, contact between the two and see what happens, you know.
Yeah. I'm utterly convinced. I think you agree. I do not want to pay for any big names. In fact, I don't want to pay for anybody. If you really want to come out, then go ask your friends for money to come on out. But the time to have sissies come out and just blah 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 blah. Oh, another meeting. Let's eat meat and retreat. Then no more. In fact, that's what they decided. The Missouri Minutemen. When we work with other groups, they said, we will go and speak to them once. If they do not take on an abortion clinic or a mosque or a gay pride parade within a month, they're done. They're not coming back. And they said, no more. We do not exist for meetings. We do not exist for meetings.
Yeah, if you want that, go join the John Birch Society. That's all they ever do.
Exactly.
I've been to my share of those things, too. And they're just like, okay, see you. Because they'll invite me to speak and stuff. And then I'm like, okay, well, Who wants to come join our group? Who wants to join our militia? Who wants to go do something? And I never hear back from them. Never. It's like,
So the Pope is more or less, well, that's important because, you know, each group has its own group. Certainly we do not agree with the theology of the Roman Catholic.
Sure.
But Greek, hey, if they're willing to get into the battle, you know what? If they're willing to take on Islam, I'm saying all for it. If it wasn't for the Pope stopping the Muslims, because actually the Pope was coming to murder the reformers, you know, the guys, that's why he formed the Jesuits. So it's kind of interesting how it was the Muslims who stopped the Pope, yet it turned south instead of north and had to take on the Muslims. So if the Pope is willing to take on the Muslims again, hey, I will be happy to go over there. You and I are still young enough. We're still buckaroos enough. I'll go over there and teach them, you know, the art of warfare.
Sure, sure. And what's cool about it is that we have so much ammo. We can justify what we're doing both biblically and historically. I'm pulling up a quote here out of my little book of quotes that I carry everywhere from Pastor John Peter Muhlenberg. In the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There's a time to preach and a time to fight. And it's in there.
Amen.
You know, it's the verses are in there, and we can spend whole shows going over it. But the rarity is finding the pastors like you found this weekend where they go, yeah, you know what? We're already on board. We're doing this. And that's what we want
to do. Yeah, the other pastors are already trying to destroy this guy. And he said, you know what? If you destroy me, you destroy me. But I will not back up one inch. I will not back up one inch. But it's like, yeah, just like Pastor Warren Campbell, what a, you know, a man's man. Right on. Send me those quotes you got that you just told me. That's good.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've got this. The church puts out this little. Where's the cover of the book? I'm trying to find it. I got it all folded up. A compendium of quotes most commonly used by Christian patriots, compiled by the Campbells at the Church of Kauai. And we carry. We carry this in our citizen's handbook with us. And when you get pulled over by the police and they see this, they're like, "Uh-oh, we got an educated guy here. We better be careful." I got this one. Here's one from Dante. The hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a time of moral crisis, maintain a position of neutrality.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah,
baby.
You know,
how you talking?
And that's true. I mean, these folks that sit back and just go, well, we're going to let we'll let soldiers fight. We want kings to fight our wars. They don't realize that those kings take your children and put them in uniform, whether they. And that's something else, too. You know, we talk about the soldiers that come back and everything, and everybody says, well, they're going by choice. Well, they've ruined the economy so bad in America that a lot of these young men have to join the military to get a start in life. So it's not like they have a choice. It's a draft of a different kind. And
that's a great point, because the Swiss, remember the Swiss all became mercenaries, and they were all Calvinist Protestants, ended up being the bodyguards to the Pope. They had nowhere to go. In fact, Martin Luther said, all they can do is act like women and milk cows, so they become men and they go become mercenaries. It's like Dutch and Steve Klein are ready to start their mercenary unit, Christian mercenaries.
Yes, yes. And the problem is in the pulpit. The problem is the preacher.
Yep.
It's not, to some extent, it's feminization, the chickification of America. But it's like I pulled up Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 here. I don't know which version this is. I just grabbed it real quick. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And it's true, because our churches today, that's all they're doing in the churches. They're telling lies,
yep,
about the gospel, lies about the history of America specifically, lies about Islam. Chrislam, as they're calling it now, Chrislam. They're bearing false witness to their parishioners, these pastors that aren't worthy of the title. They flee, feet that are swift in running to mischief, and that's people that say, what's the word I'm looking at? The all-encompassing Christian attitude, like, oh, we have to welcome everybody, we have to be tolerant of the Muslims. That's feet that are swift to running into mischief. And
right.
Proverbs nails it in there. I found that today when I was looking for something on the topic. And it's true. The churches in America have completely and totally abandoned their role as the moral, spiritual, physical, and political leaders of what it is that it is to be free anymore. And
absolutely.
And I blame the pastors. It's funny. I'm reading stuff, you know, and not to get too much off the subject, but I think it was they were picking on Sarah Palin because she liked Pastor John Hagee, who's this real big pro-Israel guy from Texas. But the article I was reading, they said he was an anti-Semite. They outright just I don't even like John Hagee, but this guy waves the Israeli flag in his church, and they just put in the article that she goes to a church, she likes a pastor that's an anti-Semite, when it's 180 degrees from the truth. He bows
They're
down
liars.
And licks Israel's feet. And it's like the movie 1984. They just say it, and it's true. nobody...
is war.
Yeah. 90% of the people aren't even going to Google who John Hagee is. Oh, he's some anti-Semite guy. Probably looks like Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, so Sarah Palin must be evil if she likes him. And I'm like, hey, I know that name. That guy's like so pro-Israel, it's not even funny.
Oh, huge, huge. Well, they kicked off the Missouri Minutemen Convention by the first thing before I got up and spoke, Pastor Mark Kaiser, and Pastor Dave Dobenmeyer, and Pastor Gregory Thompson all excoriated the pastors for being the problem. So it was really interesting. Okay. Well, last time we talked, we only had like five counties set up that wanted to do the high school outreaches. Now I've got more intel. We picked up Sacramento County, San Bernardino County today. And also I've been getting the intels coming in now that after we did Murrieta Valley High School, a Muslim man with his two boys primed and pumped and trained, went into the police and demanded that concerned citizens for the First Amendment, my group, be arrested for defaming Muhammad. And then the two boys were crying tears, crocodile tears, and our inside officer had been to Iraq as a Navy SEAL, and he was on board with us and was laughing at the Muslims, so that was good. And then the other school that we do, I can't mention the name of the school, but the day after we did the outreach, now, mind you, we're just passing out flyers, but the next day, evidently, was Donnybrook at the high school with fights breaking out all over the place, which I know a lot of the weasel sissy boys that turn their underwear on backwards, the pastors in particular, can't understand that that's a positive sign. If the kids are willing to fight, it means they're fighting because they understand how dangerous Islam is.
Wrong, yeah.
Yeah, so I contacted our general counsel, let him know, so he's working on taking care of that if they try to come in and put in restraining orders so that we can't do these high schools. But in any case, that means like some guy's laying in a coma since 9/11, 11 years.
Yeah.
10 years the dude's been laying in a coma, and then all of a sudden he wakes up and he's energetic and he wants to get into the fight, and all the nurses go, now take it easy, you can't get in the fight, you know, like this. So this is a very, very positive sign. And then CCFA, our first board meeting was today. We're incorporating as a for-profit corporation, not a 501c3, of course, and we're going to, I have to be real careful what I say over the air, but we're going to implement a lawsuit somewhere in Southern California. Sure. I cannot say where.
Yeah, I saw that.
But, yeah, and hopefully, yeah, you got to delete all those emails. Thanks. We have to.
I printed them out and then ate them.
Good. Give them the Ruger. Give them the Ruger. So we got a lot of really good things going. I estimate that by November of this year, we'll have between 20 and 25 counties in California on board with passing out these flyers, and I can see it just going into, kind of like metaphorically, don't worry about what side of the Civil War you were on, but kind of like Bleeding Kansas, it's going to heat up big time.
Yeah, well, the new war here, it's not a, the lines are different. They're all over the place.
Right.
They're in our own neighborhoods. Yeah. They're in our city halls. They're in our schools. The lines of demarcation are everywhere because they've done such a good job of allowing them to infiltrate and take over our institutions. And Sharia law is being used by judges now. Period. They've won that victory already. We surrendered that courthouse to them several places in America.
Yeah, big time. So, some other news. You guys probably already know it, that in Dearborn, the Christians won the lawsuit. You probably already know that.
Which one is that? I don't know what you're talking about, so don't assume that we're intelligent.
Last year when the Christians went out to Dearborn to pass out gospel tracts and things like that, several of them got arrested, and then they sued, and then it just came down. I think the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals judged in their favor. But once again, who the hell needs a judge? We don't need them. We have the mighty Jesus Christ, the Lord, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We don't need these stinking weasels and black robes. And by the way, I have a hunch they wear their underwear backwards, too. What do you think?
Well, here's what I wonder, though. These lawsuits, because I'm not familiar with how any of that works, if you can use them to generate funds for the cause, isn't that a good thing, though? Do you guys get monetary awards when people violate your First Amendment rights? Or is it usually just noble victory?
In California, my attorney probably has brought in, because of the way we do it, well, I got to be careful. I'll tell you what. I'll talk to you off the air about it, because it could be used against me in federal court. But yes, you're right. But I'll talk to you in private, and then
sure.
I have to be real careful how I do this. But
well, let me ask
case,
this question the other way then. Because we have the fangs of the First Amendment, shouldn't these institutions be very careful in how they deal with people handing out pamphlets in the future across America?
Yeah, and let me answer your question about California. When they Google my name and the lawsuits I've been involved, rest assured the city attorney will tell the police and everybody else, whatever Mr. Klein wants, do for him, if you get my drift.
Right, yeah, and that's...
Yeah. Back in Missouri, though, in the other 49 states, if you win, there's no monetary payment. The law is totally different in California.
Okay.
So, yes. So, to answer your question, let me answer it this way. Yes, there are stiff penalties thrown out that the offending jurisdiction has to pay and pay our attorneys. We do not go out there for that solely and only.
Yeah, in fact, you'd rather not have to mess with it.
I'd rather go fishing and hunting.
It takes a huge amount of resources on your part and time, and you'd rather just go out, speak your freedoms, have the right to educate people, and then just move on. But the other side isn't willing to do that sometimes. They're cowards.
The last lawsuit, Dutch, that I was involved with took me 3 hours and a number of depositions. And so, we won in the end, but believe me, but you know what, it's like everything else. It's like leading somebody to Christ. It's like seeing your kid born. It's like seeing Lou work through it when you had your stroke, and Lou did such a great job seeing your kids grow up. I mean, it's just an awesome, awesome feeling. So for all the sissies that want to get involved, you know, dude, when we're in front of the mosque, the guy's battering me, and things are going on. One of the guys told me later, he says, you're having too much fun, Steve. When the guy is shoving you around and you got a smirk on your face and you're just like, you have this attitude. Yeah. It was funny.
Well, when you push him to that point, well, we're going to take a break here as soon as Luke can cue something up. And we'll come back in a little bit. You're listening to Stronghold Radio over Liberty Tree Radio, Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, and all the many other outlets. Thank you, podcast people. We'll be right back after this break. Stand by.
I'm going to walk downstairs, and I'll be back in 5 minutes. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine. We'll be right back.
Okay. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Has it ever once occurred to you or ever crossed your mind that the problems of this nation are created by design? That no matter what they tell you, there's another bottom line, an inner line between the patterns of deception. Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been heard us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on, and it's written in the protocols, the 30 elders of Zion. It's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same mistake that claimed to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Crash does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
And we're back. It's another Tuesday evening in Southern Central California. I guess I'm Central California. I don't want to say Southern. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you over these many different outlets. We like Liberty Tree Radio, and we thank them. Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, we thank you so very much, even though we're not really a talk show. We just spew. sometimes we're a talk show, and but usually we have guests call in from time to time. Don't forget, Thursday is the Practical Christianity with Pastor Warmark Campbell. We weren't on last Thursday. We took a hiatus last week, a God-imposed hiatus. Everything failed, electricity, computers. I murdered my computer with a cup of hot tea. But we're back up now, and it's time on Tuesday for our good friend Steve Klein. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Hi. I'm back. And hey, how would you like, Dutch, how would you like to, seriously, if you were working with the real Joshua, you know, the commander of the Jews in the Old Testament, if you showed up, if you could, or if he came back today, and there you were with Joshua and say, like, 10,000 of his warriors, and they said, okay, Dutch, you get to be in charge of 100 guys, you're like a captain. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, around real men like Joshua?
I was just saying this to the pastor the other day. My heart aches for the fellowship of real men. Even as good as we have it here, we got some sissies here. And I spend my days trying to slap them into shape, and they get mad, and they cry, and they call me names, and say I'm too mean and too scary. And I told him, and the pastor was talking about this one individual who's having problems with me now because he says I'm too much like a drill sergeant. And you too, Steve. He says we're just too mean. And I said, you know what? I don't even want anything to do with these guys. I yearn for the time of the revolution when men were men. And you go back into biblical times, like you said, you know. And guys like Gideon, and it just, you're just like, what's wrong with the human male these days? It's just, I don't know if it's the McDonald's hormones they're putting in it or what, but yes, you are correct. My heart aches to be surrounded by men of action, men of honor, more importantly, men that spend more time worrying about what they're doing is right or wrong versus how does their butt look fat in their new jeans, you know? And that's what we have in America today. You got metrosexuals plucking their eyebrows, getting fat sucked out of their fannies and put into their lips. The human male has become a disgrace. Yeah. And I don't even care if you're out of shape, but if you're still a man, that's why I hang around with rednecks. Most rednecks aren't pretentious. You know, I don't agree with everything about the redneck lifestyle. Can't stand NASCAR. But the majority of men in this country, I can only speak for, you know, where I've been, and I've traveled most of the lower 48 and been to Hawaii, and I'm not impressed with the character or the trustworthiness or the way that they fulfill their God-given roles. They don't do it. They just don't do it. So, yeah, good point right there. That would be magnificent to just to have something like that happen. And, yes, I do.
Stonewall Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Stonewall Jackson. What was the name of the Calvary officer? Beauregard, the guy that was a Calvary officer
from Texas.
For Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, from Texas.
Was it?
Yeah, Beauregard from Texas. Then there was Pickett. There was just all these good guys. Even a few on the north. What was the guy from Maine? The 20th Maine or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Chamberlain.
Chamberlain was awesome.
I mean, Missouri Ridge.
He was on the wrong side.
Man.
Just like we were talking about last week before all the debacles with our electronics, the guy Burnham that's buried over here in the village cemetery.
Oh, my. Yeah, there you go.
From 1861 to 1947. That guy, even when he was 87, would kick half the butts of the men in Congress today. You know, what would he do? Grab a hold of that wiener jerk and just break him in half to pass on that geek.
Well, he's the guy that inspired the Boy Scouts through William Baden Powell. Could you imagine if Burnham came back today and looked at the sissies getting merit badges for ecology and taking care of Mother Earth today? What a bunch of...
And not being allowed to carry knives or start fires, depending on where they're at. I can't, you know... we don't have men like that anymore. And then when you try, and I don't compare myself to them at all, I strive to be like that, but I fall short. But it's like if people do stand up like that, what happens to them? They get destroyed by society. They go after them. They're like, oh, you're racist, or you're anti, you know, you're not pro-multicultural. You're not tolerant. That's the word. You're not tolerant. You're not loving. And it's like, what? You know?
Well, we got a great group of guys going, and you're smart. The guy that thinks that you and I are a drill instructor, well, that just proves that the guy's a sissy. He shouldn't be there in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Go away. We don't want you there.
And these are...
we don't want you there.
You wouldn't believe how many times I have to hold my tongue when I run in, because, you know, I walk in this patriot movement thing here, and I get these guys that go, I'm a soldier. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But the minute they get called, they don't want to do anything. You say, okay, well,
yeah.
It's raining this weekend. We're going to train anyway. I don't think I'm going to show up because it's raining. You know, it's like, what do you mean we're going to sleep outside? You know, and but these are the same guys that have all the, what are they called, Guns and Sandwiches magazines on their coffee table. They have the most beautiful gear they can buy. They got the best pictures of themselves holding weapons in front of the mirror, you know. But yet they don't want to do anything. They don't want to spend any money to get trained by good trainers. They don't want to get cut and bleed. They don't want to do anything.
One of the best guys you have there, I'm going to say his name over there, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, he's how old is Mike? I don't know.
62 in there? Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy's got a warrior's heart. He shows up. The guy's a warrior. I love the guy, you know. I would take him out with me. I would just say, okay, you know, if it was something like the Muslim Brotherhood when you were in the hospital and Lou was doing it, I'd probably say, hey, just stay right next to me like I did this young man when I was back there in Missouri and the Muslims were, you know, shoving me around and stuff. And I just said, hey, just hold your ground. And the kid was great.
Yeah.
He'd never been on an outreach before. His first outreach he's ever been on. These guys are shoving, yelling, screaming, threatening to kill us and everything. It's funny, but Mike's got a warrior's heart. He's quiet.
Yeah.
He follows directions.
Very self-educated. He's one of those guys, you know, he knows history. He knows the history of the Muslims inside and out. Every Sunday he hands me something new from that website, gatesofvienna.com. And he just brings it up. Right after we met you after the conference and we found out about that Muslim Brotherhood meeting going on in Visalia, he was the first one I called, and he's like, okay, he was the first one there. When we got there, he was hanging out front by himself, you know, ready to go in.
By himself.
Yeah, he's
that's the spirit we're looking for.
And he's unassuming.
He's unassuming. That's like, you just do it. You just show up. You know, it's like, well, here's a good metaphor. You're going to get married or not. You just do it, right?
yeah. Just go where God calls you to go and see what happens, you know.
And, we have the right paradigm. And once again, for the folks in Indiana, the Indiana Freedom Talk and the Missouri Watchmen, I'm working on going back to Springfield, Missouri in the next 45 days and working with them. May or may not make it, depends on money coming in. And want to invite you guys out. We're not sure if we're having the October 1 conference or not. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? So Missouri Watchmen, Indiana Freedom Talk, folks in Wisconsin, I might be able to get Mark Kaiser, Dave Dobbenheim, Mark Kaiser from Missouri, Dobbenmeyer from Ohio, Gregory Thompson from Missouri to come out. That would be awesome.
Yeah, right now it's hinging upon bodies. The pastor because right now, and I was saying this yesterday, it's me, the pastor, and Lou doing everything here. Pipes break, Lou and I fix it. Lawns need to be mowed, Lou and I do it. Weeds need to be taken out, we do it. The road needed patched today. Anthea and I were patching the road today while Lou and Stacy were weeding. So it's us four doing all the work plus pastor, and pastor's getting ill. Pastor, and it's not my place to share, but he's got some chronic, I don't know, I don't want to say, they're not like going to kill him, but they're withering conditions that he's got to fight with. You know. He's got to fight with them, and he's going to do it full on. He's attacking it, and his energy is taxed. So he says we need 2 to 3 families or groups of people to move into the area, not to Visalia, not to Hanford, not to Fresno, but to the Three Rivers, Cahuilla, Greater Metroplex, and be here when we need them to do stuff. When an air conditioner breaks, they got to be there to help us fix it. Right now we've just got, and you saw the makeup, we have a lot of really good, well-meaning elderly folks. We've got some young kids that don't have any skills that are here and not here intermittently, and they're good people.
Right.
And then we've got a bunch of middle-aged guys that are chasing mortgages or whatever else it is they're chasing, looking for a pat on the head and pride rather than the holy cause of liberty. And so it falls back to just a handful of us. When you look out there and you see the pastor and his wife cutting a tree down, that's just wrong. There should be men from the church and the community helping, You know, it shouldn't be just them two alone. And it's hard. And there are people that, you know, we've got some. It's funny. The best people we have are situationally challenged. Like we got Twinkle Toes and Rocky. They're regular listeners. But they're truck drivers. They're gone. Their job takes them across the country, which is still a good thing because they're spreading the word. They're bringing flyers out to people. So they have their purpose. But we need some people to come into the community. And I'm here to tell you, housing prices have dropped through the floor here. Houses that were once $500,000, they're asking $250,000 for them, and people are coming up and offering $150,000, and they're taking it and running with it because they want to unload them. These are second and third homes that people from Frisco and Santa Barbara and L.A., and they want to leave the state. They want to move to Idaho and pervert Idaho is what they want to do. They got to liquidate their assets here and get rid of their tax burdens and sell them. And we were talking to realtors the other day. Like, the pastor was thinking about selling that little chunk of wetland we have. And the realtor says it's almost impossible. You'll never get what you want for it. And and it's better to hang on to it. But he says, well, let's put it up for sale and see if somebody comes in and goes, okay, we'll give you, you know, $500,000 for that chunk of land. I don't see it happen unless somebody wants to turn it around. Somebody were to turn that into a campground, it would be a good idea. Because I'm looking at it out the window. It would be a beautiful little campground. But the opportunities here for people over the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, I know this next conference is, you know, we're getting close to the point where we have to start planning for it because it's October. But if we could get some people that were willing to come up here and would commit to the pastor, hey, for a week before, we'll live in a tent up there and we'll help you get everything set up. But you've got to reach out to our pastor. So all of you folks that are conference people, those 250 to 300 people that have been coming here for 15 years every October, you got to reach out to him. Don't sit back and wait for the clarion call. It's been going out to you every conference. It's your turn to get off your fannies, call the pastor up, tell him you love him, you love what's going on here at Camp Kuia, at Church at Kuia, and you want to be part of it, and you're willing to sacrifice your one-week vacation, you know, instead of going to Hawaii or Mexico or some ungodly place like that. Come to this godly place and do something for the holy cause of liberty. Come in and say, what do you need? We'll give you a list. Hey, we need somebody to put in a water fountain out at the shooting range. Okay, let's do it. We need somebody to clean out the barn. It's not an animal barn. It's just full of wood and stuff.
Sure.
We need somebody to place some rocks. We need somebody who can run a backhoe. We need, you know, anything. There is something for everybody. And so that's the big thing right now.
Tomorrow I've got some ideas. I'll just run one by you real quick, and that is I'll be happy to pay for a meal out, as I always offer.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to pay for a meal out to the entire group of all of the people on the list. It's probably cost me about $250 to $500, but I'm happy to pay it. And then Pastor puts together a letter that, hey, why don't you come here and have a working vacation and start organizing it just like ancient Israel, just like the reserves, where you take 1/12 of your force, and once a month those guys are your frontline guys, and they come to the Church of Kuia. 5, 10, 15 people in that month. They mow the lawn and do all the other stuff. So I'll talk to you more about that.
Yes.
But want to kind of get back to Code 20 and stuff, and you know, the theology arm, 3 to 5 families organized under the 4 organic laws of the United States, Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Northwest Ordinance, and the Constitution with biblical slavery in it. And to think in terms of that and organizing the way that Dutch and I have been doing that, Missouri Watchmen, Michigan, all those states, you guys are doing an awesome job. The feds are getting nastier and nastier. Well, we had a Marine 2 weeks ago, shot to death. They shot him 60 times.
Now they're saying he was some kind of drug dealer or something, even though they can't verify it.
There you go. They just lie. They just like Satan, aren't they?
Oh, and I saw the video. They walk in, they say really, you know, halfway, search warrant, police, and then they fire 60 rounds into him, and one guy's reaching over the head of the other SWAT guys to put a final cap into the guy like it was a coup de grace. I can't even talk about it without getting furious. And then last week, I think it was last Thursday or Friday, the Department of Education... The Inspector General's Office of the Department of Education issued a search warrant for a household in Sacramento because the guy's ex-wife had defaulted on her student loans. So they sent in the Department of Education SWAT team to harass and terrorize his family for several hours.
The Department of Education SWAT team?
Yeah.
Comrade, you will educate your children, and we will dismember you. We'll Allah Akbar, catch your head off. We are from the Gestapo. We only want to help you, comrade. Come out, and we will blow your brains off.
Well, yeah, and you know, eventually it's going to be targeted on homeschoolers. Well, you guys dealt with your own situation down there when they went after that currently serving war veteran's wife and kids because they wanted the guns. And they're talking about that all over the Patriot Network. I get calls from people asking me, and I just give them what I know. And they're like, okay, because Mark Kornke was talking about it last week that they're doing this stuff. You know, they go after our veterans, and the way that it was handled was perfect. Get a bunch of the women folk out there with video cameras and let them know they're being watched. FBI yesterday declared that it wrote itself some new extended liberties in how they can search and background checks without warrants now. They can take your garbage now without a warrant. One thing, though, they have more restrictive rules on dealing with religious agencies. This cuts both ways. So they can no longer send undercover agitators to churches without a supervisor's approval, which I don't know if that means, you know, agent in charge, you know, whatever, the RAC. But that's also going to hurt them because now they won't be able to investigate mosques without written permission from a supervisor. So... know, it's like weird. It's like, what do we do with this one? You know, but yeah, a whole list of new FBI self-governing regulations on what they can and can't do.
Crazy, just crazy. Well, once again, thank God for all of the militia movements out there. When I was in Missouri, I'm in California. Of all places, California, Dutch. I cannot believe it. These are the counties. We got calls from San Bernardino and Sacramento County begging us. We could teach them how to do these high school outreaches. We got Sacramento, San Bernardino, Los Angeles, Riverside, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Orange County, Santa Barbara. Oh, and I forgot, we got Tulare, because you're in Tulare also.
We're doing
that's
here.
Nine counties we have right now, and I'm happy to go and help these guys. We're incorporating concerned citizens for the First Amendment is what we're doing it under, and we're just going after these guys, and until they cry uncle, We're not going to back off, so it's the old deal. We're going after Islam. We're going after Satan. Islam, the four acronyms. Islam is PMS, RPM, MPH, and DAM. PMS is power, money, and sex. RPM is religious, political, and military. MPH is Muslims per host, and DAM is deport all Muslims now. I actually would, normally I won't go that far, but when I was in Missouri, I went through PMS, RPM, MPH, and then I said, damn, D-A-M-N, deport all Muslims now. And I just showed the Peter Hammond video when the Muslims reach 20%, then they declare war on the host.
Yeah.
So I told the guys, look, 20% in America is about 60 million. I said, combined infantry guys with riflemen, just the riflemen, nobody else, just the riflemen. And the Army and the Marine Corps, you only have about 10 total divisions in each division. You only have about 6,000 guys in a full division who are, you know, true bona fide infantry. I said, that's only 60,000 guys in the whole entire United States. The Muslims will have, when they reach 20%, 60 million. I said, so when you go to war, that is to impose your morality on the other guy because they attack us and we impose our morality, which is, you're not going to rape our women. You're not going to murder our kids. So we're going to do what? We're going to push you back. Well, when you push people back, are you not deporting them?
Mm-hmm.
These pastors, we had three or four pastors in the audience, and they were all like, yeah, yeah. I said, well, when are you going to start? You going to wait until they're 20%? I said, game over.
Yeah.
So I am noticing all through the United States, the more these idiots and the FBI and you got to be kidding me. The Department of Education has SWAT teams?
Oh, yeah. I did a whole show on it. They went out and bought all kinds of guns, paid for training. You know, we have the San Francisco City Fire Department aren't even trained in swift water rescue, but yet the Department of Education has SWAT teams. Wow. Well, the music's playing, Steve. We filled another hour.
All right.
We got a successful one in the can, as they say. Thank you so much for calling in. Remember, if you're interested in finding out more about this, you can go to abolishislam.com. That's abolishislam.com. You can email me at dutchjones.info, and we can forward it to Steve if you have any questions. It's just the information's there. The manpower is willing to come out and help you get started, but you've got to meet everybody at least halfway. So, folks, remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, and victory belongs to the Lord. But the cool thing is, he's asking us, he's inviting us to be part of it. And Anthony wants to say goodnight. Come on.
Goodnight, everyone.
She's been dying in the background to talk on the mic. So, Steve, until next week, or I'll talk to you later, make contact again, and we will continue the fight. Remember, we got training this weekend, guys. For those of you that can make it, please RSVP. We've already got people coming up in RVs. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty.